It's the two megastars summer mashup, the awesome iPhone on the Rockstar Metro PCS Network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0, so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires port in of number not currently active on T-Mobile network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Here's how to play Sip, Peel, Win at Dunkin'. Just sip, peel, win.
I want a doormat.
Look more closely.
I want a dog mat?
Put on your reading glasses.
I want a donut.
There you go. Enjoy a large or extra large coffee for your chance to win from millions of prizes like JetBlue travel certificates, Fandango movie tickets, or Fanatics gear. Just sip, peel, win at Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends 10/15/18 or while supplies last. For game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com.
You seriously want to band paint your leg pink?
I'm thinking, you know what I don't like about it? It's not really pink. I know it's pink, but it's not a pink that I feel pink in.
Suzanne Marsh,
ladies. Too forward.
You could, like, travel around the world with her troupe of club kids, DJs, and throw parties and get paid for it.
I'm drawn to people that make statements with their looks.
You could be like that, but no swimming.
Suzanne Marsh was the one who championed me and said, you have got a future. You are something special. More than any other time in my life, that's when I needed to hear that.
Suzanne Barsh has been dubbed New York's Queen of the Night. Her occupation? Well, she puts on parties, but they're more like full-scale theatrical assaults.
She encourages people to say, what are you? Express it. What are you today? Express that.
Where's the line?
I don't think Suzanne ever anticipated being like a wife. Being a mother.
When Suzanne gets dressed up, she's not my mother, really. She's sort of a character that she plays.
You know, I didn't want a broken family because, you know, in the end, my family was broken too, and that was the main thing. I didn't think I would repeat.
The beginning of the AIDS epidemic, as it kept mounting, was a horrifying sci-fi movie.
What can I do when I'm going to, why don't I fight this thing and do something about it?
Stars are coming out tonight for a big benefit to raise money to fight AIDS. But this is not your run-of-the-mill charity event.
I mean, we raised millions.
When Suzanne Barsh took the stage, it really was an electric feeling in the room.
Suzanne, she played a lot of roles of me accepting myself. I needed that. I needed it.
I feel like you're getting married.
Living life is hard. You know, we have to go through all sorts of ups and downs in life, and to get through it in a positive way isn't always easy. If it's not a statement, what's the point?
Hey folks, welcome to a special episode of The Projection Booth. This one's going to be real quick. We're going to hear from Anthony and Alex, the directors behind the new documentary, Suzanne Barsh on Top. If you don't know who Suzanne Barsh is, you're going to want to watch this movie. If you do know who she is, you'll probably still want to watch it as well. Go ahead and look for it on your local art house theater scene, as well as look for it on iTunes. By the time you hear this, it will be available. Anthony, I'm curious, how did you decide to get into filmmaking?
Growing up, my family, I feel like they pushed me into every sport imaginable, and it just never worked out. It never was something I wanted to do. I lived in a town that was not very supportive of the arts. Slowly but surely, I decided to, you know, move to New York City, and I left 4 days after my high school graduation. I was 17, and I left and I moved to New York, and I was like, well, I guess I'll be an actor because, you know, that's how you make, you know, the actors make the film. And then slowly but surely I realized, like, well, no, I'm horrible at acting. I don't want to do this. I find it miserable. And I fell into directing theater, and I went to school for directing theater, and that's where I met Alex. We started to direct theater together, and slowly but surely we found that we both loved film, and we began directing short, really avant-garde pieces, multimedia theater pieces, and then music videos and fashion films, and we slowly just worked our way into documentary filmmaking, which is what we're doing now with our partners at No Weather, Michael Beach Nichols and Chris Walker, who did Welcome to Leith and Flex's Kings. So now we're kind of just, we're kind of going with the wind. Very backward path to filmmaking. Yeah.
How about you, Alex? Same question.
When I grew up, it was a very, like, art was a big part of my house, and I saw local theater a lot, and I thought that more than anything else, I wanted to be a part of, like, the theater world. And so I went right after graduating high school to the same school that Anthony was in. And it was only after, and our artistic path is really, really entwined because we met in school and everything that we've created since then has been a collaborative creation between the two of us. Like, it's always like, there is no Anthony vision and Alex vision and that now this is a whole new thing. We sculpted our vision from the very beginning together. And while we were doing theater, yeah, we just started incorporating some filmmaking bits and pieces into the theatrical pieces. And we also had a lot of friends that went to NYU. So it was also like in the realm of possible. Like we had people that were going through something different than us, but their goals were filmmaking the way that ours was theater. And so as we just grew and incorporated filmmaking into our theater, we found ourselves doing more and more avant-garde pieces. And it was actually we're constantly kind of surprised, like, oh, this is where our art has led us. And, you know, the fact this is our first feature documentary is something that feels really right because we started making it like, we're doing this, we're making this. Yeah. So it was very much I feel like more than anything else, like, Rance and I are directors and we will probably direct more documentaries, we'll probably direct narratives, we'll probably go back to theater, but we'll always be directing.
So how aware of you of Suzanne Bartsch were you before you came to New York?
Neither of us were aware of Suzanne Bartsch at all before we began making the documentary. We actually had started making, we still want to make a film on the artist Edgar Oliver. He's a profound, profound artist. So we began filming Edgar and we ended up going to a Suzanne Bartsch party. And it was very, right when we met Suzanne, somebody introduced us and it was incredibly obvious that this woman was fascinating. And she invited us to go to a private, she invited a couple people to go see this FIT exhibit she was putting on. And Alex and I were just sort of standing in the background watching these people, watching Suzanne kind of direct all these people to like do all these different things at FIT. And we both were just so immediately sure that she was the documentary that we wanted to make. So we stopped making everything and just focused on the Suzanne Bartsch project.
She seems like a force of nature. How were you able to direct or keep control of the situation when she's around?
A lot of it is also like not needing to be, I mean, like the control in the sense of like if it was a narrative isn't quite the same as like a documentary where it's like her force is something that we wouldn't want to, you know, change or influence in any way because that's what we want to capture.
Yeah.
And she's a very like beautifully open, loving person. She just happens to be right 100% of the time. And so like when we were around her, we just all got together. There was no sense of trying to get this or trying to capture at this moment. It was just kind of being there and being present. And I feel like the force of nature that she is, it was more important that that came through than it was anything else. And it really wasn't, I mean, she was just so, for some reason, she just trusted us right away. She was so incredibly intimidating at first to us. And Suzanne, when we first met her, never took off her sunglasses. We would be at home with her and we would come and we would see her and she, you know, she would have just gotten out of bed but she would have huge sunglasses on. And slowly but surely, she became less intimidating to us and we were able to just be a fly on the wall filming her life with, you know, our partners Mike and Chris. And slowly her sunglasses came off and she would wear less makeup and she would be open to us being around for these very intimate moments. So it was very much both of us organically just getting more and more comfortable with her. But yes, she was incredibly intimidating and still can be pretty intimidating.
I think there was definitely, this is Alex, definitely just a stroke of the right kind of luck of when we all got together, she had a good feeling about us. And Suzanne is somebody who is very instinctual. And because she had a good feeling, kept growing and growing and she trusted us and we trusted her. And it was just a very beautifully organic process.
Yeah.
That she was down for everything. Like everything that we told her that artistically, we want to have this studio shoot. We want to be here when you're doing that. We want to be here when you're doing this. Can we please have all of your home movies? So she just kept trusting us because of just the energy of the room and her instinct.
Yeah.
Well, how did you decide how the project was going to go. You say the word organic, you know, how did you decide, I imagine more towards the end, how you're going to shape this into the, you know, the film that we see today?
Our editor, Karen Gould, who's so wildly talented, she sat down with us and we went through, I think it was like 300 or 400 hours of home videos that Suzanne gave us. She gave us, I think, 6 massive tubs of just VHS tapes. And we had to go through every single moment. And the film at first was very much a look at Suzanne and her influence. And then we begged her son, Bailey, to give us an interview. He had never done an interview before. He didn't want to do an interview. So it took many months of us, you know, asking him if he would do it. And then he finally sat down with us, and everything you see in the film from Bailey really ended up shaping the entire film. When we say organically, we just mean like the film went through this incredible evolution. Every time we got a new interviewer, every time we stumbled on a new tape, it was like, well, this changes sort of everything about film or everything we sort of thought about Suzanne. So it just slowly evolved over the year span of editing.
When we started like writing it as an idea, we didn't know everything yet. And there's so many things about Suzanne's life that we are extremely lucky to be true.
Yeah.
So that would make such a great film. So when we started off the same way we would start with making our music videos, where we had this impression of a person who's a force of nature. What does a film that represents her kind of look like? And we first started talking about it as like the mood and the style. And we wanted to make a documentary that felt like a music video. And then went from there in terms of like filling in the actual pieces. And then went through a bunch of different ideas, where there's an original like idea where the whole film was going to feel like it took place in a day.
Right.
So like it would start off with in the morning and would end at night.
The film would be in, at 3 a.m.
Yeah, and so like the sun would be rising. And so the idea is like all the footage in this part of the day. And, you know, and that was something that we wanted to do for a long time, but it ended up becoming too limiting to tell the story in the way that it kind of dictated that it had to be told. But we started at first just kind of going with the instinct of what we do best, which is, you know, working with mood and emotion and the, like, overall, like, human aspect.
We talked about time and how it took Suzanne time to get to know you and to trust you, and the same thing with, you know, getting her son to agree to this interview. How long did the project take? You know, when did you first meet her until the last bit of editing happened on the project?
I think the project took about 2.5 years, about roughly, like it's a little less than that, about 2 years. But, you know, it was definitely a very slow process in just getting people to trust us because, you know, we're not only dealing with Suzanne's legacy. It's like, how are you going to make me look? I've never been on camera without any makeup on. I've never let people in. So it was a very slow process of just getting her to trust us. And simultaneously while doing that, we were having our editor go through all of the tapes that Suzanne gave us, everything online that exists of Suzanne. So it was very much, you know, filming and going through all the tapes and trying to get everyone to understand us. It was a 24-hour process for 2 years. It was exhausting.
Well, we also knew pretty early that we wanted to focus on the community outside of Suzanne, the people that she's influenced or touched or helped or is in some way is a part of. And so part of the beginning of the filmmaking was also knowing that Suzanne is an incredibly interesting, fascinating person, but who are the satellites as well that really fill in the actual film story itself?
Well, she's such a major part of queer culture, and I'm curious, when you guys started to learn about her and learn about what she had brought to the community, did you learn about your own culture through her?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was a lot of learning about our own culture, learning about people that we had never even heard of who really have changed how Alex and I live. You know, I was just on the interview before this, we were talking about, you know, how Suzanne gave us the list of celebrities that Suzanne was like, we can get them if you guys want, we can, you know, get them as a talking head in the film. And we didn't really want to do any celebrities. We wanted to do people that really changed culture along with Suzanne. And there was somebody in the film named Flawless Sabrina who we interviewed. I think we actually did her last interview while she was alive. She passed away 2 months ago. And she changed queer culture in such a massive way. And it sort of have, after doing that interview, really changed how Alex and I look at our own identity, look at the identity of the people around us, look at the people that we're working with and question why we're working with them or what we're trying to say with pieces that we're either producing or directing or whatever. Yeah, it really changed, I think, not only the art that we make, but the people that we are, for sure. Absolutely. There's also the first, this is an intense experience because a part of Suzanne's legacy and her contribution is the Love Ball, which is a charity event where she raised millions to give back to the community suffering from AIDS. And Anthony and I had never spent so much time in the thought process of the feelings that people experienced in the 80s in New York. And to learn about like what a community, like to spend so much time like daily thinking about that had a profound impact on Anthony and I, and we're huge in terms of like understanding aspects of the culture. And like Anthony was saying,
the immense amount of art we lost in the 80s because of it.
How different the culture would be now if it wasn't for, but like Anthony was saying, that there is also just a huge element of being around Suzanne that enables you to figure out who you are even better. Absolutely. And how to express yourself, you know, with congruence of how you feel on the inside, expressing it on the outside, that she, this whole process has taught us a lot about culture and about ourselves intensely. Then it's so tapped into it.
It seems like she really bolsters people. I mean, to hear RuPaul say that, you know, she told him the exact right thing at the exact right moment. I mean, that is one of the most powerful moments of the film.
Yeah. It's because it's almost hard to believe. Like when I think of Ru now, it's hard to believe there was ever a moment where Ru didn't know exactly what she was doing and that she wasn't always incredibly sure of herself and powerful. And it's very reassuring for all humans, because that's not how being human is, to hear that even somebody like Ru, there was a time of needing to be bolstered. There's a time of vulnerability. And Suzanne continues to be a person who finds people that need that at the exact right moment and brings them higher up and makes them an important part of culture. It was probably something that was even important for Anthony and I, that the ability that Suzanne to recognize people and their talent, and also the ability to know instinctually that they need to hear that, is a very powerful thing that she has.
Yeah. I wish there were more people like her, for sure.
Yeah, she's very rare.
So what's next for the documentary? I know it's coming to iTunes, September 7th? And then where else is it playing?
Well, September 7th, opening in theaters in L.A. And then it's Tuesday the 11th, it is released on iTunes and all video on demand.
And then it'll be on a larger streaming platform in, I think, 3 months.
The exciting thing is just the even the pre-ordering is happening now, that people people can see it and rent it in just a week.
I think the biggest thing, it was really exciting a week ago, Ru did a short interview with Suzanne, but Ru sort of talked about how the film itself is so important for children to see, which was something that Alex and I talked about a lot, that I wish, and there are some really adult themes in the film, but I truly feel that, that this film will hit children and a younger generation much stronger than it will even people our age. I think it is a film for the young to sort of take on and say like, oh yeah, who am I and who can I be?
It's very exciting that it's going to be available to so many people.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So nice.
Yeah.
Well, you guys should be really proud of it. It's a really great documentary, and I look forward to what you do next.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Mike.
This has been amazing. Thank you.
She's hot and she's sexy. She's like 75. She drinks the blood of the East Side virgins just to stay alive. She's been throwing parties for the past 1,000 years, and her voice is cold as ice. She can leave you in tears. I'm talking about Suzanne Bosch. I'm talking about Suzanne Bosch.
Suzanne.
I'm talking about Suzanne Bosch. I'm talking about Suzanne Bosch. I'm talking about Bosch. Bosch. Suzanne Bosch. 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 Suzanne Bosch. 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 Suzanne Bosch. She'll sit down next to your table and she'll write you a check. The number one enabler of every New York nightlife train wreck. If you wanna make that cash, better get on that bar. But you're lying to yourself if you think she'll make you a star. I'm talking about Suzanne Bosch.
Suzanne.
I'm talking about Suzanne Bosch. I'm talking about Bosch, Bosch, Suzanne Bosch, 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 Suzanne Bosch, 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 Suzanne Bosch, 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 Bosch those drinks. Thanks for giving me all those drinks.
You better work. I have one thing to say. You better work.
It's the two megastars summer mashup. The awesome iPhone on the Rockstar Metro PCS network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0 so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires port-in of number not currently active on T-Mobile network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Here's how to play Sip, Peel, Win at Dunkin'. Just sip, peel, win.
I want a doormat.
Look more closely.
I want a dog mat?
Put on your reading glasses.
I want a donut.
There you go. Enjoy a large or extra large coffee for your chance to win from millions of prizes like JetBlue travel certificates, Fandango movie tickets, or Fanatics gear. Just sip, peel, win at Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends 10/15/18 or while supplies last. For game peace and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com.